When you go to like a top tier sports kinesiologist, they don't just watch you run across the track and give you a thumbs up.
Right. No, they want the data.
Exactly. They put biometric sensors all over your joints. They measure the exact angle of your knee strike, the torque on your ankles, and the micro adjustments in your posture every single time your heel leaves the ground.
Yeah, they strip away the whole illusion of just looking fast.
Right. They break down the raw biological mechanics of your performance until there's nowhere for a flaw to hide.
Because that kind of diagnostic teardown, it strips the emotion right out of the evaluation. You're just left with pure, unarguable data about how a system operates under actual stress.
And that level of ruthless mechanical precision is exactly what we need to apply today. Because, well, today is April 18, 2026.
Yeah.
And just 2 days ago, the ground completely shifted beneath our feet in the tech sector. I mean, the landscape of artificial intelligence has been permanently altered.
We're undoubtedly looking at a fundamentally new paradigm here. The theoretical capabilities that, we were just discussing last year, they are now production-ready realities sitting right on our desktops.
It's wild. So to make sense of what just happened, we are pulling from a massive comprehensive teardown published by Tech and Garage.
Look great.
Really incredible piece. They titled it Singularity versus AI World War. And they took that exact kinesiologist style approach to their analysis. So the goal for this deep dive is to look past the shiny marketing presentations, past the heavily edited press releases.
Always a good idea.
Right. We're doing a deeply analytical comparison of two absolute titans fighting for a permanent place in your workflow. We've got Anthropic's brand new Claude Opus 4.7, which literally just dropped on April 16th, going up against OpenAI's GPT 5.4, which hit the market a little over a month ago, back on March 5th.
And, our mission today isn't to just throw benchmark acronyms at you. The objective is to actually map out the underlying architecture of these models.
Right, so you can figure out which one is actually equipped to handle your coding, your content creation, and your business operations.
Exactly. Because every developer, every creator, every business owner is currently facing this choice and making the wrong one right now. It could be incredibly costly.
So true. So let's start by dissecting the newest arrival. To understand the current battlefield, we have to examine what Anthropic just dropped onto the table.
Yeah, let's look at Claude.
Tech and Garage defines Claude Opus 4.7 as the meticulous surgeon. And when you look at the raw capacity, you really start to understand that nickname.
Oh, absolutely.
It boasts a 1 million to token context window. And just to put that abstract number into perspective for you, that means Claude can ingest an 800-page, highly technical textbook in a single prompt.
Which is insane.
It is, and it holds every single footnote in its active working memory. Plus, it has an unprecedented 128K maximum output.
Yeah, the capacity is staggering. But the more important metric is how it applies reasoning to that massive amount of data.
Right.
The Tech and Garage teardown focused heavily on a benchmark called SW Bench Verified. And to understand why this matters, imagine pointing an AI at a massive, incredibly dense software project on GitHub.
Like a huge legacy code base.
Exactly. And you don't tell the AI where the bug is, you just give it a user complaint, like the shopping cart crashes when I apply a discount code.
Man, a developer's nightmare.
Right. But the AI has to independently read thousands of files, locate the faulty logic, write a patch, and run the testing suite to prove it didn't break anything else.
Oh.
Yeah, and Claude Opus 4.7 dominated this with an 87.6% success rate.
That implies a level of autonomous problem solving we just haven't seen before.
It really does. And they also highlighted its performance on MCP Atlas tool use, where Claude scored 9.2 points higher than the competition.
And tool use, just to clarify, that's the AI's ability to reach outside of its own brain, right?
Yes, exactly. It's how well the model can pull live data from, say, your company's Salesforce account, or parse a really chaotic weather API, or, accurately book a calendar slot without hallucinating the parameters.
Right, it actually has to use the tools correctly.
Yeah, and Claude's precision there is just unmatched.
Okay, let's unpack this, because as the skeptical proxy for the audience here, my immediate thought is about the economics of that precision.
Ah, yes, the cost.
Operating an artificial brain with a 1 million token memory and a 128K output window, that cannot be cheap. I mean, is running this meticulous surgeon going to bankrupt the average user?
That is the pivotal constraint, honestly. The baseline pricing is incredibly steep. You're looking at $5 per 1 million input tokens.
Okay.
And a massive $25 per 1 million output tokens.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
But the teardown exposes a deeper structural issue they call the hidden token tax.
A token tax? Wait, are they, like, penalizing users for longer prompts?
Not intentionally, no. But it is a byproduct of how Claude processes language. So Claude Opus 4.7 uses a new architecture called Tokenizer 2.0.
Okay.
Historically, a tokenizer might look at a common word and process it as a single token, like a single unit of compute.
Right. One word, one token. Roughly.
Roughly, yeah. But Tokenizer 2.0 breaks text down into much smaller, highly precise semantic and phonetic chunks.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It forces the neural network to analyze the microscopic intent and nuance of every single syllable, which is exactly why its reasoning is so surgical.
But the trade-off is efficiency, I'm guessing.
Exactly. The exact same paragraph of text now consumes 35% more tokens than it did on older models.
Oh, wow. I see the logic there, though. You're basically paying a 35% premium in compute power to guarantee the AI actually understands the nuance of the instruction rather than just kind of skimming the keywords.
Precisely. So a project that cost you $100 in API credits last month might cost you $135 today simply because of how Tokenizer 2.0 shreds the text.
That hurts.
It does. However, Anthropic engineered a highly specific countermeasure for this. It's called prompt caching.
Okay, yes, I read about this in the source material, but I gotta be honest, the mechanics of it seem almost too good to be true.
The mechanics are actually quite elegant. So when an AI reads a document, it performs billions of mathematical operations to convert those words into massive tensor matrices.
Right.
Usually, if you ask a follow-up question, the AI deletes those matrices and recalculates the entire 800-page book from scratch.
Which is terribly inefficient.
So inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
But with prompt caching, Claude servers physically store those mathematical states in a temporary cache. So when you ask your second question, it bypasses the recalculation entirely.
Okay, so it's essentially keeping the book open on the desk instead of returning it to the library after every single question.
That is the perfect analogy. And the financial impact is drastic. Repeat input costs plummet from $5 down to just 50 cents.
That's a huge drop.
Techin Garage actually highlighted a developer doing a deep analysis of a massive legacy code base. Without caching, the system continually recalculated the code, resulting in a $168 bill for a single afternoon.
Ouch. For one afternoon.
One afternoon. But by utilizing prompt caching, that identical workflow cost just $21.
$21. That is a 98% reduction in cost, just because it isn't doing redundant math. I mean, that completely changes the value proposition of the surgeon.
It really does, assuming your workflow relies on chatting repeatedly with the same large document.
Right. But consider the flip side of that. What if you don't need a meticulous surgeon performing deep analysis on an 800-page textbook?
Right. What if you're doing something else?
Exactly. What if you just need something fast, highly versatile, and aggressively cheap? And that brings us to OpenAI's March 5th release of GPT 5.4. If Claude is the surgeon, GPT 5.4 is the high-speed Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, OpenAI took a deliberately divergent strategic path here. Instead of maximizing sheer context volume, they prioritized latency, multimodal capability, and cost efficiency.
And the baseline economic difference is undeniable. GPT 5.4 is 58% cheaper natively. It's sitting at $2.50 per million input tokens and $10 for output.
Yeah. Much more accessible.
The context window is tighter. It's 400K standard with an experimental 1 million mode, and the output is capped at 64K. But it punches way above its weight class in specific reasoning domains. It scores 94.6% on both math benchmarks and GPQA reasoning.
We should probably clarify what GPQA actually measures because it highlights GPT's specific type of intelligence.
Good point.
GPQA isn't a trivia test. It is a grueling battery of PhD-level physics, biology, and chemistry problems. It's designed specifically by experts to trick artificial intelligence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so scoring near 95% on that means the model possesses highly advanced logical deduction. It also boasts a hallucination rate of just 0.8% compared to Claude's 1.2%.
That's really impressive. But as impressive as those reasoning metrics are, the Techin Garage piece makes it clear that the raw math isn't the killer feature here.
No, it's not.
The true differentiator for GPT 5.4 is native computer use combined with full multimodal image generation.
this is where the paradigm truly shifts.
I was actually trying to visualize this for a non-technical user.
Mm-hmm.
So if Claude Opus 4.7 is a brilliant, highly focused architect who is permanently sealed inside a glass room-like, you slide complex blueprints under the door, and it slides flawless revisions back out.
That's a great image.
Right. But GPT 5.4 is the scrappy intern who is physically sitting at the desk right next to you. It can grab the mouse, it can click the buttons, it can open a browser, download a PDF, drag it to a folder, and organize your inbox.
And to understand how wild that is, you really have to look at the underlying mechanism. GPT 5.4 isn't just generating text about your computer.
Okay.
It is actively taking continuous screenshots of your desktop.
Wait, literally continuously?
Literally. Its vision models parse those images instantly. They draw invisible bounding boxes around UI elements like buttons and text fields.
Oh my God.
And then it translates those visual boxes into X and Y coordinates on your screen. It communicates directly with your operating system's accessibility hooks to physically move the cursor and execute keystrokes.
That sounds incredible in theory, but I have to ask, how do these futuristic specs actually translate when you are staring down a Tuesday afternoon deadline?
The translation comes down to raw speed. The architecture of GPT 5.4 processes tokens roughly 30% faster than Claude Opus 4.7.
30% is a lot.
It's huge. When you pair that processing speed with the ability to directly manipulate the computer, GPT 5.4 becomes an absolute monster for rapid iteration. If you have a small, annoying bug in a script, you don't want the surgeon to wash up and review the medical history.
Right, no time for that.
You want the intern to jump into the code editor, test 5 different fixes in 40 seconds, and just find the one that compiles.
Which leads directly into a concept that Techin Garage argues is redefining our daily workflows entirely. To understand how it actually feels to use these tools, we have to examine a new methodology they call vibe coding.
Vibe coding. I know, it sounds dismissive or like a buzzword.
It totally sounds like a buzzword.
It does. But it actually describes a profound evolution in human-computer interaction.
Because the days of carefully engineering a single perfect prompt, hitting enter, and then just praying the output is correct, those days are over.
Long gone.
Vibe coding is continuous interactive programming. You're collaborating in real time. But to do it successfully, the AI has to possess impeccable instruction following, phenomenal code quality, and most importantly, massive context retention.
And to see which model actually, you know, vibes better, Techin Garage designed a notoriously brutal stress test. They took a legacy React application, about 50,000 lines of code, and instructed both models to refactor it from older class components to modern functional components.
And we should probably explain why that is such a nightmare task.
Ah.
You aren't just changing a few variable names here.
Not at all.
You are ripping out the fundamental plumbing of a house, the lifecycle methods, the state management, and replacing it all with modern hooks without turning off the water. I mean, changing one file almost guarantees you will break dependencies in 20 other files.
It is a massive cognitive load. And the results of this test map perfectly to the different architectures of the models. Claude Opus 4.7 successfully completed the refactor with a 94% success rate.
Impressive.
It is. Now, the process took a lengthy 3 hours, but only 6% of the resulting code required a human to manually step in and fix it.
Okay.
GPT 5.4, on the other hand, hit an 87% success rate. It blitzed through the task in just 2 hours, but it left behind a mess. It required 13% of the code to be manually debugged.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Mm.
Because as a user, you are being forced to make a very tangible trade-off.
Yeah.
GPT 5.4 saves you an entire hour sitting at your desk waiting for the AI to finish compiling. But the price you pay for that hour is having to clean up more than twice as much broken code at the end.
What's fascinating here is the technical reason why GPT struggles with the cleanup. It all comes down to context retention and how attention heads work inside a neural network.
Okay, explain that a bit.
Sure. In a 3-hour vibe coding session, you are inevitably going to set ground rules early on. Like 5 minutes into the chat, you might tell the AI, we are strictly using TypeScript for this entire migration, no exceptions.
A critical constraint for the whole project.
Exactly. Claude Opus 4.7 utilizes a localized memory anchoring system. So even 3 hours and thousands of lines of code later, those attention heads remain firmly attached to that initial TypeScript rule. It holds the vibe and the constraints flawlessly.
And GPT doesn't.
Well, GPT 5.4's attention mechanism tends to dilute over a long rapid-fire session. The deeper into the chat you go, the more likely GPT is to lose the thread. forget the TypeScript constraint, and suddenly start writing vanilla JavaScript, which forces you to step in and fix the architecture.
Ah, I see. Which proves that Claude is vastly superior for deep, complex, legacy environments where the rules are strict and the architecture is delicate.
Exactly.
But if you just need to squash a quick, isolated bug where the context is small and speed is everything, GPT-5.4 takes the lead.
That is the dividing line for engineering. But we should pivot because the implications extend far beyond software development.
Yes, let's look at this from the perspective of someone who is writing React components. If you are listening to this as a marketer, a technical writer, or, a founder running a business, how does this AI world war impact you?
The Tetchin Garage Analysis applies the exact same division of labor to content creation. Let's say you need to author a 5,000-word deep dive research article. You have 20 dense PDFs of academic studies, and you need the AI to synthesize them, extract the data, and write a cohesive report that maintains a consistent professional tone from the introduction to the conclusion.
You need the memory anchoring. You need Claude.
Unquestionably, Claude is a five-star tool for that. Its ability to process the Turkinizer 2.0 semantic chunks means it really understands the nuances of the academic papers, and its context retention ensures the tone doesn't mysteriously shift halfway through the document.
But let's say your task is entirely different. You don't need a massive white paper. You need 10 snappy, multimodal social media posts.
Right.
You need marketing copy paired with AI-generated images, and you need to iterate on the visuals and the text simultaneously for a campaign launching, like at noon.
Then GPT 5.4 is your five-star tool. Its multimodal vision and generation capabilities, combined with its sheer speed, make it the ultimate creative brainstorm partner.
Which inevitably brings us to the harsh reality check of running a business,
Yeah.
the economics of scale.
Yes, the budget.
Tetchin Garage ran the math on a highly realistic corporate scenario. Imagine you operate a customer service chatbot that processes 10 million queries every single month. On average, let's say each interaction takes 500 input tokens from the customer and generates 200 output tokens from the AI.
This is where the theoretical benchmarks crash into the corporate budget.
Exactly. Let's break down the math they provided. If you run that 10 million query workload on GPT 5.4, your API bill at the end of the month is $32,500.
Which is substantial.
It is. But if you run that exact same workload on Claude Opus 4.7 without utilizing the caching feature we talked about earlier, your bill skyrockets to $75,000.
It's more than double the operating cost for the exact same volume of work.
It's staggering. And the teardown points out that even if you engineer your systems perfectly, let's say you achieve an incredibly high 80% cache hit rate on those customer queries, Claude Opus 4.7 still costs $57,000 a month compared to GPT's $32,500.
Yeah, you can't escape that Tokenizer 2.0 premium entirely.
So what does this all mean? When I look at this data, the synthesis seems really clear. If I am a small startup founder, carefully watching my runway, or just a student learning how to program, GPT 5.4 is the undeniable choice.
It makes the most sense.
It is incredibly fast, it is significantly cheaper, and the native computer use feature means it can actively help me navigate my operating system. I simply cannot afford the 35% hidden token tax of Claude's meticulous processing,
Right.
even if I am absolutely religious about using prompt caching.
Your analysis of the startup and learner demographic is spot on for high volume, repetitive production environments where, good enough reasoning is acceptable. The economics demand GPT 5.4.
Right.
However, Tetchin Garage outlines a crucial caveat for the enterprise tier.
The mission-critical workloads.
Yes. If you are a senior architect executing a massive database refactor where a single hallucinated line of code could bring down payment processing.
Terrifying.
Right. Or say you're a legal team synthesizing hundreds of contracts where missing a single liability clause costs millions of dollars. The economics flip entirely. You happily pay the $75,000 premium for Claude Opus 4.7 because you are purchasing risk mitigation. You need the meticulous surgeon.
Because the cost of an error far outweighs the cost of the compute.
Exactly. Which brings us to the most valuable insight from the entire teardown. It's a principle they call the golden rule. The secret to surviving this AI world war is realizing you don't actually have to draft your company into one army or the other.
You leverage both architectures.
Exactly. The optimal workflow they propose for 2026 is a tag team approach. You deploy GPT 5.4 for the initial rapid prototyping.
Okay, yeah.
You let the scrappy intern brainstorm the messy first drafts, execute the quick tool use actions, and debug the obvious errors at high speed.
And once the foundation is relatively stable, you tag in Claude Opus 4.7. You hand the project over to the meticulous surgeon to do the deep context review, ensure the architectural rules were followed, and apply the final flawless polish.
Let the fast tool be fast, and let the accurate tool be accurate.
I love that. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really requires a fundamental shift in how we view our own jobs. You listening right now are no longer just an operator of a single application. You are effectively the manager of a diverse team of digital experts, and your primary skill is knowing how to delegate.
That is the ultimate takeaway from this teardown. This isn't a zero-sum war with a single winner. It is a strategic deployment choice. Knowing when to unleash the fast, affordable Swiss Army knife and when to scrub in the meticulous, expensive surgeon is the true shortcut to being well-informed, highly efficient, and economically viable in this new landscape.
It truly is the defining meta skill of the current era.
Absolutely.
But before we wrap up our analysis of these sources, there's one final, slightly unnerving thought I want to leave you with.
Yeah.
Just something to mull over while you're driving or making dinner tonight. We spent a lot of time discussing how vibe coding is actively shifting our role from writing the work to collaborating with an AI in real time.
This raises an important question regarding the trajectory of that collaboration.
Exactly. Because if the golden rule is to utilize both of these distinct models in tandem, what happens when we reach the point where these models start vibe coding directly with each other?
The autonomous feedback loop? That is a fascinating thought experiment.
Right. What happens to your role when you just type a high-level goal into a prompt and GPT 5.4 starts rapidly generating the code and then immediately hands it off to Claude 4.7 via an API for review?
Wow.
Claude analyzes it with its massive context window, finds the flaws, and sends it right back to GPT for a rewrite. The scrappy intern and the meticulous surgeon, locked in a digital room together, iterating, debugging, and polishing at the speed of compute, completely cutting the human manager out of the loop. It makes you wonder what our job title will be when the tools learn how to manage themselves. Until next time, keep diving deep.